justified. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And I have a special guest in the studio with me today. So we're going to go back to our old days about a month ago, and it's going to be called the Jimmy and Jimmy Show. Jimmy Taylor, the Taylor Ranch out of Roger Mills County, is here. We're going to be talking cattle all the way through our show, but I got a few things to go over with you. And our current weather is nice outside. It's 78 degrees, dew point 73, humidity's 85%, winds are out of the southeast at 13 miles an hour with gusts up to 19 miles an hour. It's a pretty nice day for August, isn't it?
It is.
Because you were out pairing up cattle this morning when I talked to you, and it was a nice morning for that.
It was great.
Yeah, it was good. Well, our weather this hour is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden at Hobart, Oklahoma. Like I said, it's one of my favorite spots in Kiowa County when I go down there to do a little shopping for the hunting part of my life. And Hobart Stockyards had their sale yesterday. Rex Fleming sent his deal up to us, and they had some steers that were averaging $399 or high. They're averaging $323, I'm sorry, and brought as high as $203 a pound. Pretty good. And then down here in the 700-pound range to 800-pound range, their average was $7.85, and they brought up to $1.40. Some heifers, 400 to 500 weight, average was $4.64, or bringing up to $1.59. And some more heifers weighing in the 7 to 8 range were brought up to $1.27 a pound. Cows 1,000 and over were bringing up to $75 per 100. Cow pairs were, looks like they 1850 flat across the board here. Bulls, holy crap, anyways, $1.15 a pound. That's pretty good for bulls. 1,000 and over, average bulls yesterday selling was $15.66 and bringing up to $1.15. So it sounds like Rex had a good sale down there. Friendly reminder that the USDA announces dates for the CRP, Conservation Reserve Program's grassland sign up. From today through August 20th this year, the USDA is the U.S. Department of Agriculture updated sign-up options to provide greater incentives for producers and increase the program's conservation and climate benefits, including setting a minimum rental rate and identifying two national priority zones. To enroll in the CRP grassland sign-up, producers and landowners should contact the USDA by August 20th. That's the deadline. At the service center, at the FSA service center. So contact your service center if you got some land that you want to sign up in this CRP. Well, Mr. Taylor, yesterday on the show, I was talking about some farmland in Iowa that was averaging a little over $11,000 an acre that they sold, and it was an estate. Well, today, so when you Google something, other stuff starts popping up.
Sure.
Well, today, I got one that was pretty interesting that I think our listeners would like to listen to. There was another one sold yesterday, 441 acres, brought $12,745 an acre. We live in the wrong country, don't we? Would you sell out if somebody offered you $12,000 an acre for the ranch?
I would have to consider that. That corn country makes a little bit of a difference there,
Woo!
Though.
Well, that was the deal of this story. I highlighted some stuff here. John Cowan has a rule of thumb about land auctions. He's an auctioneer. The quicker the auction, the higher the price. And by the measure, this five-track, 592-acre estate sale, his firm, Central States Real Estate, did on August 17th in Iowa, northern Iowa. It was crazy. $7.544 million for 592 acres, $12,745 per acre. What made this sale unique that is that four tracts made up one continuous property totaling 441 acres. This property was made up tracts 1 through 4 straddling the Costum and Winnebago County line just west of Buffalo Center. He said that a tract this size selling at this auction is very rare. The sale method featured all five tracts individually. Tracts 1 and 4 sold at buyer's choice, one tract or any combination of the four. And it sounds like they only got one track because there was five different buyers of five different tracks. So anyway, so, and you take over possession next year. So you're going to have to pay interest still then. But the atmosphere, he said, was energetic with five or six active bidders on each property. A local lender, imagine local lender being there, served lunch. And it didn't say whether they was having caviar, steak, or a wine or champagne, but for that kind of money, it better be more than a hamburger. Callan says land prices are on the rise due to the high commodity prices and the 2021 CFAP money, CFAP money. There are a lot of guys with just said he basically said they had a lot of cash and they wanted to spend it. Well, they spent it yesterday. When you start getting $12,000 to $15,000 per acre, a lot of people decide it's good time to get out. And markets are up, interest rates are still low, and there's some unknown about President Biden's tax plan. So they're wanting to get their money and run. And he said of interest, most land transactions in 2020 were private treaty. This year, sellers are returning to the auction method instead of selling at private treaty. If you want to know what the market value of a piece of property on a given day, an auction is the way to find out. And he said in 2020, Winnebago County led Iowa's corn yield. This is dry land, not irrigated, 208 bushels per acre. Soybeans was 60 bushels per acre. The average cash rent paid in the county was $224 per acre. This is not irrigated either. That's crazy. With higher quality land fetching up to $250 an acre, according to the Iowa State University data. Well, that's a lot of money.
It sure is.
That's a lot of money.
I was interested to see if that local lender's lunch plan paid off for him later on.
It sounded like it did. So, but they if you guys have any questions for Jimmy or Jimmy today, you can text into the KECO Ag Text line. If you got hay, and if you got some cows you'd like to sell, or you're looking for some hay, or you're looking for some cows, text in, or you're looking for some seed, wheat, true to cow, rye. If you're looking for some, text in, or if you just got questions for some, or you just got a comment, because we're going to be talking about, he just got through preg checking his cattle from AI in there a few months ago, and he just got back from Nashville. Were you up there trying out for band music, or was you up there on business?
Jimmy, I was up there 5 days, did not get any offers as far as a
no
singing
contracts.
Career, so I came on back home.
Well, we got one more thing, and we're going to take a short break. Yeah. But the big event at Express Ranch at UConn, it starts tomorrow, and it's Saturday. It's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. 300 head will sell tomorrow. And Saturday, 300 head plus lots will sell at 11 a.m., free breakfast at 7:30 if you want to get there. If you want some free breakfast, get there at 7. But Bob Funk's the owner. If anybody's got any questions about the sale, you can get on www.expressranches.com or call at 405-350-0044 if you want to head to the Express Ranch tomorrow, because they got some beautiful cattle up there and always have, and their horses that they take around with that stagecoach and stuff with those big Clydesdale. That's a beautiful set of, I think it's Clydesdale that they have up there, but they take them around to all the rodeos and big parades and stuff like that. But anyway, that's going on tomorrow. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
And Jimmy Taylor. The Jimmy Show today. I got a text in. This gentleman out here has got 5x6 Midland Bermuda grass, round bales weighing 1450, sprayed, fertilized, net wrapped with John Deere equipment, $123 a ton. Also, he has some grassy alfalfa bales for $125 a ton. Interested in some grassy alfalfa or some really good looking grass hay, 580-515-0021. Welcome to the show, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I've been waiting for this all week. I've had two Jimmy shows this week. Maybe I can get both of you guys here together.
Well, that'd be good.
And then maybe you guys can sing.
I don't think you'd want that to happen.
Because both of you wear cowboy hats really good. Well, so we'll try you out for the back road show with Drew in the afternoon.
Well, it'd have to be way back in the back roads. I sound more like a wounded buffalo when I sing, so you probably don't want that on the air.
I probably sound like a baby buffalo still in the womb. I cannot sing. I don't hold a tune. But anyway, when I called you this morning, you were pairing up babies.
Yes.
Because you got a lot of them born at the same time. And
well, you mentioned AI earlier, and that's one of the things that happens when you AI several on the same day that they're going to be due on the same day.
Yep.
So we've got in our cow pasture, cow trap, we've got 91 head that are due basically at the same time. Our heifers are in a different place. There's 29 due about the same time there as all this is going on. So to lessen the confusion among the mamas, we're constantly pairing out. As soon as those babies can travel and they get colostrum down them, we'll move them to the next trap toward the lots in preparation to start working them.
I got you. With you, 4 years ago, I bought a semi-load of cows off of Dean that he just got in from Iowa that were all AI. Some of them were sex bred, and they were all, most of them due date was, I think, February 2nd through the 4th. Well, I'm not used to that. And, you know, my bulls breed the cows, and they'll be scattered for a month, month and a half, maybe 2 months. I went out there that one morning, and there was more black babies on the ground. And I was like, whoa, how am I going to do this? Well, I ended up getting them in the lot and having to pair them up because it was hard to go out there and tag that because there's confusion going on. They're all black babies. Even though a cow knows her baby, still, they're just running around like crazy. So I feel your pain.
Right. You can get behind very easily.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to get that tag in their ear as quick as you can. In case there is a little mix-up, you know what goes where. Jesus does a really good job of keeping those tags up to date.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, so how'd the preg check go?
Preg check, which will be the ones that we'll calve late February, early March. We're not completely done with it. We're finished with the heifers. I've got a pretty tight window there. We've got a 33-day breeding season on them. We ended up with an AI pregnancy rate of 69% AI. Total pregnancy rate for that 33 days is 86% were bred, 14% open.
So why is your window so tight on your heifers?
It will help fertility in my herd long term.
Okay.
Is probably the main reason.
Is it?
And it puts that calf crop closer together too. They match up a lot better, but mainly fertility.
And I'm trying to work on that. Right?
Yes.
And heifers are way different cows.
They need a little extra attention. Sometimes they hadn't quite got it figured out. Some do really good. Others. We had to put one outside a couple of days ago in a little trap area away from another cow because she liked both her baby and that baby. Liked that baby a little better. But once we got that pair out, she went back to hers and everything was fine. She just had to have some alone time with it.
We got another text in, and I'm not sure that I want to say any because I know who it is because he's the same guy that texted in last week, the one asking Brian from Jackson from the Route 66 meat process wanted to know if he could cut all of his beef up into ribeyes. And so you know this guy real well. But anyway, he says, probably not enough time today, but we need to talk about R0, whatever that means. Do you know what he's talking about?
R0. That's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, it's Mr. Tucker who's texting in.
Okay.
So, Monty, you need to be a little more specific in your text.
Yeah. Monty, give a hint.
because heifers, they're so different. But like you said, the majority of them easily no issues, you know, with claiming the right calf and the whole nine yards. But there's some that just hard hit it, and they don't want nothing to do, even if it was theirs.
Right. And sometimes, Jimmy, we end up having to bring that one into the lot. We'll try to, especially if it's in the middle of the night, we'll try to ease one outside where it separates, depending on what's going on is which one we'll choose to get away from it. But sometimes he's a little bullheaded. And we'll need to go to the lots and
have a talk.
Give them just alone time together. And most of the time that cures it.
Yeah, it's very rare that they end up not claiming it, but it happens. Mm-hmm. And that's why some people got milk cows out there around the pasture somewhere, mm-hmm. and they get to, because you don't want to lose a baby. And they're our pride and joy. That's the reason why we raise cattle.
Right.
So what about your mamas? Have you did any preg checking on them?
We did the first round. We go ahead and do one round because there's so many in that pasture. Once we wean, we kick them all in a pasture that has been unused. So the grass is really good for a while. But after a few days, you know, they start grazing on it pretty good. So we try to get some out. We did enough preg checking that we got the ones that were AI'd, and then the next cycle after that, we run a little longer breeding season on the cows. We've got a 52-day season there. So our AI rate on the cows, the conception rate there, was right around 60%. And there's several more bred at that 18 to 24-day window. And then we'll pick up that last window. Those are the ones we kept around, and I'll do another check on here. I think it's next Thursday. We'll do that and have the final numbers.
And then after that check, the ones that are still open, is that the ones you sell?
Yes.
Yeah, because you give them two shots, and they're done.
Yep.
And yeah, I've seen some of your culls, and they're pretty good.
And that,
but you got that, a program.
That's where that 33-day breeding season, and normally it's shorter than that. We usually go 26 days, but it was raining this time, and it wasn't really a convenient time to get them in and do that. So we went a little longer. But where that pays off is with the cows. The last full group that we preg-checked, out of 148 cows, we had three open in the 52-day period. So that's a 2% open rate in that 52-day breeding season.
He just texted in more specific. He said 0 meter club in the cowboy TIV.
Oh, that's a whole nother show, Jimmy.
That's why he said probably not enough time today. Thanks, Monty, for getting me in trouble.
That has to do with tornadoes, so I'll leave that with your imagination.
Okay, we'll leave that one alone today. Thanks for your input, Monty. Go back to work. So, well, you talk about rain. How's the rain been in your area?
Oh, it's been fantastic, Jimmy. Now the pond part of it, we could still use some more.
Yes.
We our ponds are low, and if this thing turns dry, we'll run out in a few months. It's a little better now because we're getting out of the part of the year where it's going to get really hot and evaporate a lot.
Right.
But as far as a grass year, I can't remember a better one. July and August have been fantastic. Got grass in just about every pasture. Well, there's a lot of options.
There's all kinds of options.
Usually it's the other way around. You're hunting a place where can I move them now?
But, you're looking for an option.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now you just got them. Now you got to know what to do with them.
Yep.
Well, a lot of people don't realize farmers and ranchers are out in this every day. And some people are probably just thinking that are don't do agriculture. How could he say that his ponds aren't full? Well, I have 11 ponds on my place down at Willow, and two of them are dry right now because this rain's been soaking up. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a tremendous – there's a couple of specific areas where they got a 3-inch downpour and they got some water, but not at my place, and it don't sound like it got it at your place. It takes a lot of water to fill those ponds up.
Right, and that's the key, what you mentioned, a downpour.
Yeah,
the rains we have gotten by, for the most part, have been grass rains where it is slow, nice just rains that soak in, and that's the ones I would prefer. You're growing grass, but you still need those that come pretty fast and run off and run down the canyons and fill those ponds
up. Yeah, because Jimmy Emmon was in here Monday. And we were talking about this subject right here, the water, because it just seems like to me it's been 6 years since the end of the big drought, 2015. And it's, a couple of years ago when it rained, you see lots of water just going down the roads, washing stuff out and stuff. And it wasn't a big downpour, but it was a downpour. Last year we didn't get a whole lot of rain, but we got enough to survive on. And this year we've got a lot of rain, but it wasn't just running off, And I asked him if he thought that we're just getting back to norm from the drought. And he agreed. He thought, something's going on. The ground's just now opening back up because it takes a long time. That thing just didn't end with a rain, that drought. I mean, you drive between here and Sayre, and you can still see some of the pastures that were overgrazed and during the drought because they didn't want to get rid of the herd. I'm not downplaying that at all. Right. I mean, it's a pride deal, and you spend a lot of time building that herd up, and a lot of unusual weeds came up in those areas. Sure. They're still there today, and that grass hadn't totally come back yet, and it's been 6 years. So you was in Nashville.
Yes, sir.
What was you doing in Nashville?
That was our summer business meeting. As you know, I serve on the Cattlemen's Beef Board, the Beef Checkoff Board.
Beef! That's what's for dinner.
and that's one of our past ARs that we've talked about.
I still love it.
Well, now realize there were several voices over the years that promoted beef in that manner. probably one of the ones that most people would remember is Sam Elliott. And Jimmy, I appreciate you promoting beef, but I think you're coming up a little short compared to Sam.
Well, I like honest opinions. So,
but no, it's interesting. You know, over the years, some of the voices, James Garner, Sybil Shepherd, Robert Mitchum, Matthew McConaughey, all pitched for beef over those years, and that's part of what the beef checkoff ARs that they put out over the years.
So did Mike, did he do all right, beefs once for dinner?
Matthew. No, I think his was more the land of beef.
He didn't do the magic Mike deal.
No. Did a good job, but
except for the Texas Longhorn deal, he's an all right guy.
And those were well received among consumers. Drove a lot of beef sales, a lot of beef demand. But that's an example of what we do in the checkoff. Times have changed. TV costs a lot more today,
right,
than it did in those days. And it makes them a little more unaffordable, where you're spending too much of the percent of the money you have to promote beef on one thing.
Right.
So taking that into consideration, the board looks around and finds areas where we might get a better bang for the buck. And today it's videos,
right,
social media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, you don't know which direction to go, really.
Right. Well, we try to go all those directions.
Yeah, and you're going all those directions.
But this meeting I just went to, that was a very important meeting as far as planning for our projects. You heard me say AR a while ago. That means authorization request, and it's a project that we're looking at funding. To go back in the process a little bit, our budget committee came up with a number that we had to spend on promotions this next year, projects, and those things were due June 30th. This is the first time that the producers that make up the beef board have to look at it. There's six different committees, program committees, that look at these proposed ARs, proposed projects, and they decide what's good about them, or they might need tweaked, and that's what we were doing at that meeting. The six areas we look at are consumer trust, domestic marketing, international marketing, safety and product innovation, nutrition and health, and stakeholder engagement. All of those areas, we've got different producers in those meetings, and they're looking those over and offering suggestions, telling the contractor who does those projects what they like, what they don't like.
Well, if you'll hold on to that thought, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Jimmy Taylor, the Taylor Ranch out of Roger Mills County, is here, and we're going to take a short break and be right back.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 16th. 1,511 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 335 brought 215. 8 at 618 brought 152. 10 at 725 brought 157. 16 at 775 brought 156. 50 at 898 brought 149. 10. 4 head of heifers at 433 brought 163. 31 at 558 brought 158.75. 21 at 724 brought 145.50. 6 at 748 brought 145.50. 8 at 943 brought 126. Butcher cows were 36 to 80. Butcher bulls, 73. 3 to 98, bred cows 475 to 1235, pairs brought 1150 to 1500. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Woo! We about missed that one, Jimmy. We were talking about Monty Tucker, really. But anyways, somebody texted in with a video of a black wasp wanting to know what kind that is. I told him to contact your local OSU extension agent.
There you go.
I know what an army worm looks like. Do you want to know what that is? And have you had any army worms up here yet?
Not that we've seen. We've got plenty of grasshoppers, but hadn't seen an army worm yet.
Well, yesterday, close to the big garden by my wheat ground, I seen some army worms with red bandanas on, and I seen some grasshoppers with blue bandanas on. So I think we're having a Crips and Blood war out there, and it looks like the grasshoppers are winning right now. So I got 100 tomato plants there. You've had some of my tomatoes.
Yeah, they're good.
And as soon as, if I'd let them turn red, the army worms punch a hole through the middle of them, along with some fruit worms, and the grasshoppers eat the skin off of them. I mean, you can't win. So I just pick them early, let them set up and turn red and go from there. So it's been fun. But when we went to break, you was talking about ARs, but you said something that kind of caught my a little more attention. You said international. What do you guys do internationally?
That is one of our contractors, USMEF, the United States Meat Export Federation, goes to different countries around the world and tries in those countries. They'll get market access and develop markets in those areas. They're probably have offices in, I believe it's 19 different countries.
Wow.
And are actively working in around 80 countries around the world. And beef exports, I believe the first 6 months of this year, 14.7% of the beef that has been produced has gone to export. Now, those of you that pay the check off, like you, Jimmy, like I was several years ago, I'm thinking to myself, well, what good do exports do me? I don't export cattle, but think more instead of whole animals, think parts of animals.
Yep.
You know, it might be in the more established markets, it might be a more quality product like a filet or a ribeye. But what helps us a lot, the beef variety meats, the parts that we don't consume here in the United States, that's a big part of the export market. Tripe, livers, tongues.
Hearts.
Hearts.
Tail, tongues. What they call the tail part, the tail head.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's that might be a delicacy in another country. Tongue is a good example of that. In Japan, that's a delicacy. Here, I don't know that you could find it in the supermarket if you went to buy a tongue.
It'd be very rare.
Over here, you'd get more of a rendering value for it, around 30 cents a pound. In Japan, you're going to get around $7 a pound for that. So
they do like it.
So that increases the value of that carcass. So those exporting have those markets. And adding all that up, what the export market does, right now, that amounts to around $350 per carcass in extra dollars that carcass can bring. Now, you don't see that directly, but since that guy's getting more money, he can afford to pay more to the person he's buying it from,
right,
and right on down the line.
Right.
That's how you'll
it
realize
trends down.
That's how you'll realize more dollars for your product. And the export market has been Demand has been very good this year, Jimmy. Before this year, we had never had a month where we sold over $800 million in one month. Now we've done that in the last four. We've broken, or actually went over $900 million in one month.
Wow.
So set a record in three of the months. We just kept going up. This last one was back a little bit, but it was still over $800 million. Where that's taking us, you look at projections, we're probably going to be 15% over what we were last year as far as international sales. And if that happens, we'll break the previous record, which was $8.33 billion worth of sales. That was in 2018. We're going to top that this year if we keep going at the pace we're going.
Well, you're talking about this one person gets $350 for these Delixy that we don't eat here, the non-edible products, you want to call it, for Americans, because it used to be, I mean, my mother used to cook liver and onions all the time and all that stuff. I never had the tongue, right. But I've tried the tongue, and that was just a one-time deal. But they're, you got to understand, well, this guy's making $350. Well, I bet it's not cheap to ship stuff from the United States to 19 different countries or one country or whatever. There's a lot of cost involved in that.
Right, and it's a little difficult right now. This has been accomplished with some pretty good headwinds due to port congestion. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but it's tougher. Their ships are backing up that are coming from the west. There's last report I saw, there's around 37 that have had to anchor in the ocean off of Long Beach Port and Los Angeles Port are right next to each other.
Yep.
And there's no space for them to get in. So they're having to anchor out in the ocean and wait for their turn to come in. Also, the shipping rates coming west, they get a lot more money for that than those going back to the east. So there's been some empty containers shipped back. Now, typically, our agriculture products, it's not just beef. It's probably almonds, those that ship from the West Coast. Those containers weigh more than the average container. So it wasn't unusual to have a certain amount of those containers go back empty. But that amount has increased quite a bit. I think normally you'd see like 50% of them empty due to the weight.
Right.
Now it's more towards 75%. So even with that going on, we've made these gains in those international markets.
That's great.
It's amazing.
Somebody's doing something right.
Right.
Well,
and domestically, demand is really good right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's actually what the checkoff job is. I've heard, you know, how things get turned around, misinformation
no,
being
I
out
haven't
there.
Heard anything like that.
There, our job is to create beef demand,
right?
Through promotion, research, and education.
Yep.
So we can't do some of the things that you hear people wanting us to do. We're focused on creating beef demand and beef.
And looking at the numbers I've been seeing the last month, it's working.
Mm-hmm. Back to that beef board I was talking to you a little bit, and I wanted to share this because these are the people that are making decisions on how to spend your dollar. You know, when you pay the checkoff dollar, the board is made up of 101 people from across America. The majority of those are independent cow-calf producers.
Like you.
And you.
Yeah.
so that.
You're on the board, I'm not.
Well, you're an independent producer.
I know.
So about 60% of the board are cow-calf. Stocker feeder makes up around 25%. Dairy, 8%. And importers, 7%. And importers pay that check off, too. They bring, just like exporting, are parts of animals. Most of what's coming in is lean trim or parts, and they pay an animal equivalent on that. And they paid about 17% of the checkoff last year, what their
You do your homework, don't you? you remember numbers, and it was like, man, I need your brain on my brain so I can remember this stuff.
Oh, when you're passionate about something, Jimmy, this. When you I love what I do.
You do.
I love raising beef, and this is my way of giving something back to the industry. Now, another thing about those 101 board members, they're all volunteers. They don't get paid for that. They get expenses, and that's it. And
right.
They have to take time from their operations to go up there.
And it's luckily for you, you have Miss Tracy and you have Jesus.
Correct.
And,
I wouldn't be able to do it without them.
Right. We haven't hit on this yet, and I don't know if she's listening or not, but how is Miss Tracy doing?
She is doing excellent today. She got to go see grandkids yesterday.
Oh, yeah,
so
she's doing good.
That makes it all good.
Oh, yeah.
But I think later today she's probably going to be on a skid steer out there. She's well, got no, a couple
I'm not,
of projects.
I'm not bringing up skid steers ever again around her. So I did that, 2 weeks ago?
You got me a little bit of a bind, Jimmy. You upgraded and showed that off to her, and I'm getting a little pressure now.
Yeah, so anyway, whatever I can do to help the cause, but I'm not going to, anyway, we'll just shut up about skid steers. But back to the beef checkoff. Actually, if you don't mind, let's take a break and let's come back and we'll finish the show with some more beef checkoff stuff.
Sounds good.
It's 96.5 KECO. It's Today in Ag. We'll be right back.
We learned in grade school that 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4. So what does quality cattle feed equal? I heard you can be proud of. It's simple math mixed with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feed so you get the herd you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local high-pro feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
He needs to get that right. He needs to go Jimmy's, not Jimmy's. So anyway, if you're just now joining the show on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, Jimmy Taylor from the Taylor Ranch out of Roger Mills County is here. We've been talking, the first segment, we talked about how's AI-ing with the preg checks and the heifers and cows and all that good stuff. And we've been talking the last two segments about the beef checkoff and ARs for expenses. They've got ARs all over the country. It's just programs. But for just a split minute, let me give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. 20% chance of rain today, a high of 90. It's 79 currently right now, so it's going to have to hurry to get to 90, I think. But it can do it around this part of the country. Tomorrow, 94 degrees, winds out of the south, 14 to 17. Saturday, 93 degrees, winds 6 to 10. Looks like tomorrow's the windiest day of the week. Sunday, 94. Monday, 96. Rain chances are be gone after today, because I know I'm going to start laying some hay down tomorrow. I'm tired of waiting. It's got to get cut down. But, Jimmy, thanks again for coming in.
Oh, you bet, anytime.
I love talking to you. So, and I had a lot of people comment on the first time you come on. when you were talking about doing your DNA test and all this other stuff, and I had a lot of comments on that, and they were looking forward to you to coming back. So, well, let's take off again on the beef checkoff.
Okay.
What you talked about ARs earlier.
Right.
And one of those ARs is the one that got my attention was an international one.
Sure.
And we discussed that. Is there another one that's of interest that people would love to know about?
I've got a couple here that we'll talk about in a second. Now, I want to go ahead with the process that I was describing a while ago.
Okay.
When those producers met in Nashville, they gave their opinion of those ARs. And this year, Jimmy, we've got 15 ARs, 15 projects to look at. We've got $38 million to spend on those. We've got $48 million in requests. So we're going to have to make some cuts. There's some really good ARs that we're going to have to cut back a little bit because we don't have the money to do that. The checkoff has changed over the years in money availability. Back in the late 70s, the cow herd we had then, we've got a third less cows today than we had then.
Is that right?
And we're producing the same amount of beef. That's how much more efficient our cows have gotten and how good a quality. But with that third fewer cows, that's that much less dollars that are going to the checkoff.
Right.
Also, in 1985, when the act and order passed Congress as part of the Farm Bill, a dollar then is worth 41 cents today. So as far as total dollars, we've got a lot less today to work with. And, you know, I wish we had enough to fund these.
A little over half.
Yep. I wish we had more money where we could fund these projects because they're good projects. But we're going to have to make some cuts. The $38 million is what we have to work with these projects. There's a couple of other parts of our budget. One I wanted to point out that our administration budget by law cannot be over 5%, and actually we run right around 4.5% is usually where we're at or less. So we try to do the best job we can taking care of producers' dollars that come in. We try to be frugal. These other ARs I was going to tell you about, one of them in particular has to do with taking care of those dollars. There's an AR that's been working for about a year and a half now. It's called the Meat Demand Monitor. It's done by Kansas State. They're a subcontractor to our contractor, United States Cattlemen's Association. And what that does is every quarter they survey 2,000 consumers, and they get a feel for what those consumers are looking at. Because remember, the consumer is the one that puts the dollars in to buy our beef. That's where it ultimately goes back to.
That needs to be the super happy person there.
Yes. That's where the dollars for the beef industry come from, those consumers. And if they're getting a good product and they're happy, they'll want to buy beef. So more of those dollars will come in. So this surveys them and gets their opinion of what they like, what they don't like. They might compare beef to alternative proteins. You know, different things. So we can tell where that consumer's mind is. So taking that back, we look at these projects, and we can spend those dollars as wisely as we can because we know what our customer wants. So bringing that back in, we look at that through that lens and can make better decisions.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know K-State was doing that for you guys. I do now.
Yep, and actually they're a subcontractor.
Right.
The contractor they're working on is United States Cattlemen's Association.
And K-State's as good a university as Oklahoma State when it comes to farming and agriculture.
They do a good job with the research. Dr. Glenn Tonser is who's doing that project. And they've also, not Dr. Tonser, but another department at Kansas State, talking about them, has got a proposed AR this year. And it's rather lengthy, and they're working in conjunction with North Dakota State and Georgia couple of things like tenderness. They're working on that shelf life. But one of the interesting parts of it to me was they're looking at if they can change what they feed cattle. And they're talking microalgae here. They're thinking they can raise the omega-3 levels in beef. You know, omega-3, you associate that with fish. Yep. People want to eat fish to get their omega-3s. Well, if this project works out and you can raise those levels in beef, you'd have the beef option, too, to go down that road.
We had a gentleman on here, I think about a week after, or maybe 2 weeks after you was on here last time, and he was talking about those omegas. Mm-hmm. And he's from Kansas, and he's dealing with Kansas State. It's probably the same bunch. Mm-hmm. So, because he was very interesting.
Another one of those ARs that have been ongoing for several years is our issues management team. Say we get something bad happens in the industry, a BSE cow happens, or a salmonella outbreak, and you start getting, say, negative press or press that's maybe got some misinformation on that. They're on standby all the time and monitoring this stuff on your and my behalf. Yeah.
Yep.
So they can be right on top of it. You know, the longer you let something like that run, the more people they get to. But the time you get your information out, it might be too late. Public opinion might be formed. But since they're ready to go at any time, they can tell what is actually happening and tell the beef side of the story and refute a little bit of that where we're not at a disadvantage. And
well, with social media, with all these news outlets, I mean, there used to be ABC, CBS, NBC,
yep,
and a radio station. 1240 AM here used to play all the way to Oregon, coast to coast. And nowadays, you just don't even know where to punch the button. You don't even know where to go.
Right, and it's instantaneous anymore.
I got thrown in Facebook jail the other day in 32 seconds.
I heard about that. but it's so instantaneous that you've got to have a team like that on standby, or you're behind in the game, and it's difficult to catch up. They do a really good job. There's 5 to 6 people that are on that. But, you know, things like just an article with misinformation.
Right.
Like I said, salmonella, E. coli,
anything to downplay right. what's you know what you're eating.
Right, and sometimes there's groups that are not friendly to our industry, and the information might need to be corrected a little bit, and that's what they do.
Well, we got about
get the truth out.
A minute left. And you have some information you want to put out on how to attract this stuff.
If I've got a minute, I need to hurry. I'm going to give you, if you'll get a pencil, Jimmy, I'm going to give you some websites. This first one is for both producers that pay the checkoff dollar and consumers. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
All right.
And if you're a producer, it'll have information on there about beef versus alternative protein.
Yep.
It's got nutrition benefits of eating beef. If you're a consumer, it's got the nutritional value. You can go in there and say you want a ribeye. It's got the amount of protein. And sound like we better move on here.
Yeah.
If you're a producer, go to beefboard.org. And there's a drive. If you want to report on where your dollars are going, sign up for the drive. And that'll tell you monthly, by email, or quarterly by print exactly where your dollars are going.
All right. And he's going to leave this information with me. And if you guys need any of it, just let me know. And Jimmy Taylor, it was great to have you in the studio today.
Jimmy, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for all the information. There was a lot of good information this hour. And I'll be back tomorrow.
There's a good mix of music.
Really good music.
Let's go.
Let's go!
This is KECO Elk City.
Pro
progress in Afghanistan. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. The Pentagon working to ramp up evacuations, though at this point, they're not planning to expand U.S. security beyond the Kabul airport. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.